in the home, a wife in the home, and children in the home when we're following a godly guideline. But when we don't want to yield to a godly guideline, then we're going to have problems. So let's look this morning. Psalm 127, verse number 1. This has been our text for this series of messages. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You understand, he's not talking about a house of stone, a house of 2x4s. He's not talking about the material things of a home. But he's talking about the inner dwellings. Notice in verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. For the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You understand, the house he's talking about is the spiritual house, not the literal house. In fact, we'll look in a few moments, Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, thy children like olive plants. Verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The home that is being emphasized in these Psalms is not our physical home that we'll return to later today, but the spiritual quality of our home that God wants to build. And God wants to be involved in building it. We can't go into our literal house, shut the door, and leave God out and want God's blessing on our home. You and I as believers, out of anything in this world, ought to desire God's blessing on our household. So let's look this morning at God's guidelines for a godly home. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we come asking for your guidance. Father, I know the thoughts that you placed upon my heart, the scriptures that we're going to look at, and I pray, Father, that those scriptures would touch every one of our hearts. God, help husbands to be what they ought to be. Help wives, Father, to be what they should be. Help children, God, to fulfill their role and be what they should be in order to establish a godly home. We pray your blessing on the preaching of your word this morning. We pray you would speak to our hearts. We pray, God, for just the next few minutes, you would put out of our minds the busyness and activities that are before us today. And Father, help us to focus on wanting to get something from you, wanting to be taught and spoke to by our God. Use your word in each and every heart. We pray most of all, especially, God, if there's one today who's never committed their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're lost. They're without God and without hope in this world, and they're headed toward a devil's hell. And Father, I pray that though we're not speaking of the area of salvation particular this morning, that God, your Spirit, as He is always able to do, would side up next to that person, show them their condition, show them their need for Jesus Christ, and help them today to call upon His name for eternal life. Bless your word, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, or the last 2 weeks, I've talked about the guidelines for a husband, and that was to love. Of course, to love your wives, husbands, love your wives. That was a commandment given in the Bible. That commandment would not have to be given if there wasn't a need for it. And as we talk about it, there is a need for husbands to stay in love with their wives. We said, second of all, it was labor. A man has the responsibility of providing for his household, and we'll comment on that a little bit this morning. And then thirdly, the husband's responsibility was to lead. He is to take not only the leadership in the home as the male figure in the head, but also as the spiritual leader in his home. Children look up to the father, whether we want it to or not, and they will get their spiritual leadership from what they see, not from what they hear. From the example we set, not from what we dictate. So the man's three words were love, labor, and lead. Now, can I tell you this morning, as we move from the husbands to the wives, I've only got one word. Now, doesn't that make it so much easier? There's only one word. Now, that's today. There's still next week, and there'll be eight of them next week. But today, there's just one word. I want you to find it, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. This is the same chapter that we looked at where it said, husbands, love your wives. And so in the very same passage where we get the guideline for a husband to love his wife, we will see again next week that the commandment is given also to the wives to love their husbands, but that's usually not a problem. The woman is the more emotional of the two, and her love is usually a little bit stronger than the man's, not tempted quite as easily. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself to next week. But I want you to see the word we're going to look at this morning. It's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And here's what the Word of God says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Down in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Notice in verse 23, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A husband loving his wife as himself is an act of humility. I'm pausing because I want that to sink in. A husband loving his wife is an act of humility. The Bible said to love your wives as you even as yourselves. So for a man to step down off his pedestal, come down from his macho image, and to love his wife as himself is an act of humility, as Christ loved the church. As he left heaven and came down here and bore a cross, an act of humility, so men are to love their wives. It's an act of humility. Then wives are to submit to their husbands as an act of honor. Wives are to submit to their husbands as an act of honor. We, Christ loved the church. He came down. He subjected himself. He submitted himself to the will of the Father because he loved us. Now we subject ourselves to him. We submit ourselves to him. We honor him by our submission in our lives. Let me say this morning. The word submission is not a bad word. Because the minute you talk about this, and depending on the crowd you're speaking to, especially if you're talking to women, and you say, wives, submit yourselves, a lot of times we put up this term that's a negative word that we say, well, no, I don't like that word. I don't like that term. It's a biblical word. It's a biblical term, and it's not an offensive one, and it's not a derogatory one. In fact, look, if you would, just a few verses before what we read. Look, if you would, to verse number 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. It said this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting is not a bad word. We are to submit ourselves one to another. Notice the Bible talking about a spiritual man. Verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens if you're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The evidence of being spirit-filled is singing songs, having melody in your heart to the Lord. The second evidence is verse number 20, giving thanks always. If you're a spirit-filled person, you're going to be on the positive side. You're going to be giving thanks. And thirdly, submitting yourselves one to another. The three keys of being filled with the Spirit, the three evidences. Speaking to yourselves, giving thanks, and submitting yourselves one to another. What is submitting yourself? Placing yourself under someone else's authority. Esteeming others better than yourselves. That's what submission is. And we're all commanded to do that, so it can't be a bad word. It can't be a negative thing. We don't have time to turn to these verses, but I want to list these for you. I'll quote them, but I would encourage you to jot them down. James chapter 4, verse 7. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says to us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We're focusing on that word, submit or submission. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. All of us are to yield ourselves. That's kind of the word I think of when I think submit. We're to yield ourselves to God. Again, Jesus set the prime example of that when he said, not my will, but thine be done. He put his will second to the Father's. That's what submission is all about. And the Bible tells you and I that we should submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Can I tell you this? You have a hard time with that. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I have a hard time with that. And we all have a hard time with that. Submitting, we talked about it in Sunday school. Not my will, but thine be done. What God wants you to do, what you want to do, which one's going to win? Submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. Yielding ourselves, placing ourselves under His authority, knowing that He's going to do what is best for us. That's what submission is all about. Another verse you might jot down, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Here the Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. All right, there's that word again, submit, submission. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Now what's that talking about? Yielding ourselves, placing ourselves under the authority of human government. As a general rule, now you're going to think of the, I know the exception, as a general rule, we are to obey all the laws of the land, the speed limits, the codes of conduct, how we're supposed to behave ourselves, how we're supposed to do things. We are subject to the laws of our land. And the Bible tells us to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. That's what submission is, yielding yourself to a higher authority. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know what that means? Young people ought to listen to older people. A society gets out of whack when the younger people are not listening to the older people. Now, I've got to be honest, I am an older people. The days were that I was not one of the older people, I was one of the younger people, and I hope I heeded this when I should have. And of course, I can run all kinds of places with this. But a wise society yields to the knowledge and experience of older people. Too many times when we're young, we're headstrong. We're cocky. I was. We're headstrong, we're cocky. We don't even realize it. Somebody has to tell us that we are, or years later we look back and realize that we were. And so it's a beneficial thing at a young age to listen to the counsel of those that are older. Does that mean you obey everything they say? No. Does that mean we obey every ordinance of man? No. But we submit ourselves to that authority. So get this, submission does not mean obedience. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He didn't say, wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. He said, submit. Yield to their authority. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Here the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now, in that context, I just have to preach what the Bible says. It's talking about yielding yourself to the spiritual leadership of those placed over you. In our case here, that would be your pastor. That would be your deacons. That would be the leadership of the church. Now, again, we're not to lord over God's heritage, but as older men, we're to set an example and we're to guide and we're to lead. It's submitting yourselves to the authority of someone that's watching, the Bible says in Hebrews, watching for your souls. So submission is an act of willingly yielding ourselves. You hear this, I'm going to beat you into submission. Now that's not submission. Submission is willingly yielding yourself to someone's authority. Those are the positive aspects. Let me give you two verses that talk about the negative. In Psalm chapter 81, verse 16, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 81, verse 16. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him. You know what happens when it says submit yourselves to God? The haters of the Lord did not submit themselves, and they're going to pay the price. We pay the price for not submitting to one to whom we are commanded to submit. The ordinance of man, the elders that are among you, the spiritual leadership that God's given. When we buck and rebel against that leadership, when we don't yield and don't submit, we bring upon ourselves bad troubles. So submission is simply willingly yielding ourselves to the direction and authority of another. The other negative verse is Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Again, I encourage you to, we don't have time to write these down. I'm going to run out of time no matter what. But Romans chapter 10, verse 3. God said about the ungodly world, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not submitted. The ungodly world has not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And what's going to happen because of that? They're going to spend an eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. Why? Because they did not submit themselves to the right. They would not bow the knee. They would not yield to His authority. They would not esteem Him as greater and higher than themselves. They said, no, I'll do it my way. I'll do my thing. And because they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God, the wrath of God is upon them. See, all of us are supposed to submit. All of us have degrees in our life. We're to submit to spiritual leadership, to the ordinances of man. Submit ourselves to one another. Submit ourselves to the elders among us. Submit ourselves to God. It's not a bad word. It creates a pleasant atmosphere. And it creates a scenario that's pleasing to God. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to turn to this one. Now that we've got that established, I want you to understand that submission means to yield. In other words, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. What does that mean? It means don't be dominating. See, when we don't yield ourselves, submit to God, you know what it is? We're the one. We're in charge. We're dominating. We're proud. We're arrogant. We're self-willed when we don't submit ourselves to God. Now the Bible says for the wife to submit herself to the husband. I want to give you three things this morning concerning this word submission. Of how a wife is to submit herself to her husband. Three areas in which wives are blessed when they submit themselves to their husband. Number one, in the area of protection. A wife submits herself to her husband in the area of protection. You understand the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. Now we can argue and debate this with our society all that we want to. We can try to change the physical makeup of women. But it's just a matter of fact. Physically, a woman cannot do what a man can do. Physically. Now you might find one or two exceptions of women that are pretty powerful. That's fine. But overall, God has put the wife under the protection of the man. It was Adam that was to keep the garden and to watch the garden and to watch over Eve. And it was the moment that he wasn't there to protect his wife that the serpent came in and beguiled her. So it is man's obligation, number one, to protect his wife. And the wife is to submit herself to the husband as her protection. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's where it says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Giving honor unto his wife. Giving honor unto his wife. See some men, and you know it, you've seen it. This thing of submission is, wife, woman, you're supposed to submit to me. That's not giving honor to the wife. Following a biblical pattern will elevate the wife. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Notice verse 7. As unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. You see that godly home? That your prayers together be not hindered. Husband and wives, when he honors her and protects her as the weaker vessel. Look back at verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own... I want you to notice these words. Your own husbands. That's interesting. I pondered that for quite a while. Be in subjection to your own husbands. Notice in Colossians, did we ever look at Colossians? I had you turn there. And, all right, I'm doing a George Griffiths on you, aren't I? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. I want you to get those words at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. To your own husbands. Underline that, because I want to talk about that curious phrase. Why didn't it just say, be in subjection to your husbands? But it said, your own husbands. Here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Again, couldn't it just said, submit yourselves unto your husbands? But it said, your own husbands. No word in the Bible is accidental. No word is without significance. And so we have to understand there's a reason for that. Look at Titus chapter 2, right before the book of Hebrews, just a few pages after Colossians. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 5. We'll be in this passage next Sunday. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, notice this, obedient to their own husbands. See that phrase popping up over and over again? Their own husbands. New Testament times, they were under Roman governmental leadership. The customs and traditions of Romans were very derogatory concerning women. Women were a property to be owned. Women were a lower level than men. And any man, anywhere, had any authority over any woman he saw in society. That was Roman culture. Any man could boss any woman, anywhere, any place. The man was it and the woman was nothing. I like those two. I don't know, is Laurel and Hardy one of those two? I'm the boss and you're nothing. You got that? I'm the boss and you're nothing. Repeat it after me. I'm the boss and you're nothing. He says, all right, you're the boss of nothing. In Roman society, it was male-dominated and the women was other, and any man could dictate to any woman or tell her anything to do anywhere. You know what the Bible said? Uh-uh. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. No other man has the authority. No other man has the right. No other man has the privilege. Your husband is your protection. So here we find that one of the three things that a wife is to submit herself, she submits to her husband as her protection. Years ago, there was a church, a bigger church, that had a Christian school ministry. And the principal of that Christian school and the youth director of that big church got at odds with each other because they were teaching the same kids different things. The youth pastor had the kids on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and the Christian school principal had those kids Monday through Friday. That's always a dangerous thing to have two people at odds. One that's got them Monday to Friday at odds with the one that's got them on Sunday. And it came to a head to where they had to come before the pastor and give an account for their dissidence. And the pastor said, what is the problem here? And the youth director spoke up and he said, I have taught these kids that it is their God-given privilege and right to fight to defend themselves. Not to be bullies, not to cause anything, but to fight to defend themselves. The director of the Christian school was one of these folks we call non-resistance. And they believed you don't resist anything. You don't fight for anything. And so he explained to the pastor that he taught those kids, no, that's not what you do. You let them spit on you. You let them beat it. You let them do whatever you want to do, and you pray for them. And so the pastor asked him a question. He said, let me ask you a question. You're in your home, you and your wife, and someone breaks in. And he breaks into your house and he's after your wife. What are you going to do? And the Christian school teacher said, I would fall down on my knees and ask and pray God to intervene. And the pastor's red began about right here. He began to go flush his face as it went up there. And he said, you mean to tell me that if your wife was under imminent threat and imminent attack, you would stand there and do nothing and not protect her? Men, we are given the responsibility of protection for our wives. We are supposed to be their security physically in this world. They are supposed to find comfort and solace in protection in their husband. And if they do, it's much easier for them to submit when they know that someone's watching out for their physical, emotional, mental, spiritual well-being. Now, I know I'm supposed to be preaching to wives this morning, but I'm getting the husbands at the same time. Wives need to submit to their husbands in the area of protection. Number two, wives need to submit to their husbands in the area of power. Again, I did not write this book, but it is the best formula for a godly home. A home cannot have two heads. Anything with two heads is a monster. There has to be a head. There has to be the buck stops here. There has to be that leadership we talked about when it comes to men. And a woman has to trust her husband and yield to his leadership. Again, the Bible tells us that the man is the head of the wife in 1 Corinthians. This, again, is not to demean or not to belittle. The Bible highly esteems women and takes them from societies that cast them down and lifts them up and elevates them, giving honor to the wife. And this area of submission is submitting not only to her his protection, but submitting to his leadership. Some women are hindered in their spiritual life because of their husbands. Some women are hindered in their spiritual life because of their husbands. They're not submitting to a power of leadership in spiritual matters and in their home because the men are not being what they ought to be. And so women suffer spiritually by the man not being what he should be. Men are suffering in their homes and in their spiritual life because the women are not submitting like they ought to. Can you understand that both of these things, when things are not in place, it's chaos. When things are not in place, it's friction. When things are not in place, things are not working right. But if everybody is fulfilling their position and their roles and their duties before God, everything's going to work out. It's not going to be perfect. As those of you that have been married 50 or 60 years can tell us, it's not always going to be perfect, but it will work out. When the man fulfills his responsibility and the wives submit to the husband's protection, to his power, and thirdly and lastly, and dangerously, to his provision. To his provision. It is the man's responsibility to provide for his wife. I'm going to be blunt. A man that won't do that is a bum. A man that will not do that is not fit in his role as a husband or as a father. If he will not do anything and everything possible to provide. And I don't have time to go into this, but folks, can I just tell you, I practice what I preach. I moved to this town in 1991 and I worked anywhere and everywhere. I'm not ashamed to flip hamburgers. I'm not ashamed to work any dirty, filthy job I had to work to provide for my family. And I've got to be honest with you. I have very little sympathy. Very little sympathy. I have compassion, but very little sympathy for those who just plain out, flat out, will not work. I know I shared this before, but I just think it's funny. Go out and get a job, and in 14 days you will come into some money. It might not be as much as you want it to be. You might have to take an entry-level job and work it for a long time before you ever get to where you think you deserve and ought to be. But a man's responsibility is to provide. If a man provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And a woman rests in the provision of her husband. Now I know that opens a can of worms. The Bible says women to be keepers at home. That's next Sunday. But let's just say this. A woman will submit to her husband when he fulfills his roles of protection, power, and provision. Now, can I say this? A wife might say, Pastor, my husband does not provide one of those things or two of those things or any of those things. What am I therefore to do? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. You still submit yourself. You still acknowledge Him. You still yield to His authority as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. When we do that, when we have that thing of submission, I go back to Ephesians chapter 5, being Spirit-filled. And in being Spirit-filled, it told us to do spiritual songs and giving thanks and submitting one to another. Then under that topic of submitting, it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your own husbands. When we're Spirit-filled, when we have a godly home, we fulfill our roles and our places in our home, and God's blessing is upon it. The thing that we ought to desire more than anything else is God's blessing upon it. There are those that are building their home on the basis of the bigger house, of more possessions, of newer things, of more money and pursuing more. It's not just providing, but it's protection and it's power or leadership that makes a godly home for a wife to submit to. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I pray this morning that the truth of what we're looking at in the Word of God would be evident before us. Father, again, we're not preaching down to anyone. We're preaching to elevate, to lift.